Blog Talk Radio.
Said the night went to the little lamb. Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail.
Defender Radio Network.
And welcome to Deeper Truth. The holy name of Jesus, preparing for December 25th. Are you ready? Today is November 30th, 2022, the feast of St. Charles de Foucault. And was Bethlehem, December 25th, 2 BC. Too cold. We will look at that in just a few moments. And my encouragement, be the miracle. Have your oil full. Be ready. Be ready. Jesus is coming as a little baby. But in the season of Advent, we also look and we are preparing for his second coming. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. So be ready. Be the miracle. Have your oil full. And let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, in union with the merits of Jesus and Mary, I offer you, for the sake of the poor souls, all the satisfactory value of my works during life, as well as all that will be done for me after death. I give you my all. Through the heart, through the hands of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, that she may set free whatever souls she pleases according to her heavenly wisdom and mother's love for them. Receive this offering, O God, and grant me in return an increase in your grace. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Amen. O good Jesus, according to your great mercy, have mercy on me. O most merciful Jesus, by that precious blood which you did will to shed for sinners, I beseech you to wash away all my iniquities and to look graciously upon me, a poor and unworthy sinner, as I call upon the holy name, your holy name. Therefore, O Jesus, do thou save me for your holy name's sake. O God, who did appoint your only begotten Son to be the Savior of mankind and did command his name to be called Jesus, mercifully grant that we may enjoy the vision of him in heaven, whose holy name we venerate on earth. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed be the most holy name of Jesus, without end. And so, be ready.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
As we prepare for this beautiful Christmas season, let us praise the holy name of Jesus.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the shine. Bow to babe on bended knee, the Savior of humanity. Unto earth a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. No. No.
the St. Charles de Foucauld story. Charles was born into an aristocratic family in France. Charles was orphaned at the age of 6, raised by his devout grandfather. But he lost his faith as an adolescent, rejected the Catholic faith as a teenager, and joined the French army. Inheriting a great deal of money from his grandfather, Charles went to Algeria with his regiment, but not without his mistress, Mimi. He had a mistress. When he declined to give her up, he was dismissed from the army. Still in Algeria, when he left Mimi, Charles re-enlisted in the army, refused permission to make a scientific exploration of nearby Morocco. He resigned from the service. With the help of a Jewish rabbi, Charles disguised himself as a Jew, and in 1883 began a one-year exploration that he recorded in a book that was well received. And he said, "I live the way it is possible to live once the last spark of faith has been extinguished. I am bored to death," he said. Inspired by the Jews and some Muslims whom he met, Charles resumed the practice of his Catholic faith when he returned to France in 1886. So he respected those whom he met and respected their faith in the way they practiced their faith, and he sought to look into himself interiorly and began resuming the practice of his Catholic faith, which is something that we can take part in for a lot of us who have had wayward children, who have gone their own way. And so St. Charles is a great opportunity. He's a great example, a great opportunity for us to reflect on. We can bring them back. May the Lord bring back the prodigals. And Charles, he embraced his Catholic faith when he returned to France in 1886. He declared himself as a free thinker. And he said that, "I was so free, so young, there remained not a trace of faith in my soul," he had said about those. But before his looking back, he was thinking where he was. Eventually, he joined a Trappist monastery and later transferred to a monastery in Syria. Leaving the monastery in 1897, Charles worked as a gardener and sacristan for the poor Clare nuns in Nazareth and later in Jerusalem in 1901. He returned to France and was ordained a priest. So think about this. He came back not only to become embracing in his holy Catholic faith that he was raised by his grandfather, but he would become a Catholic priest. Later that year, 1901, Charles journeyed to Morocco, intending to found a monastic religious community in North Africa, and offered hospitality to those in that region. And he said, "Keep your heart ready and let it be filled with what Christ wishes to place there." Charles lived a peaceful, hidden life, but attracted no companions. Became a hermit. A former armor comrade invited him to live among people there in Algeria. Being very young, this officer lacks firmness and enthusiasm of undeveloped character. He has much work ahead before he can perform at the level expected. So that's what he said of himself. Charles learned the language of the locals enough to write and speak. And he began to translate the Gospels into these languages. In 1905, he came to Tamerezet, where he lived the rest of his life. A two-volume collection of Charles' poetry was published after his death. And so he would say, my place is in the desert, to establish myself over there, to be a priest and a hermit, for I believe that that would be to the great glory of God, even if I remained alone. In early 1909, he visited France and established an association of lay people who pledged to live by the Gospels. And he would say, my soul is experiencing a profound peace which grows daily. It increases faith which calls for gratitude. I am where the good Lord wants me to be. In a year I shall make my profession. In my heart I long to be bound through those vows, but I am already bound through my most every wish. In 1915, Charles wrote to Louis Monsignor, the love of God, the love for one's neighbor, all religion is found there. How to get to that point? Not in a day, since it is perfection itself, is the goal we must always aim for, which we must unceasingly try to reach, and that we will only attain in heaven. That's what St. Charles said of him. And then the outbreak of World War I led attacks on the French in Algeria. During World War I, attacks were made on the French living in Algeria, and Charles was forced to build a fort to prepare or protect the people in the surrounding area. It became a place of refuge for many. And Father Hevelin, or Father Hublin, in a letter in 1893 states, you are free, my son. He's writing to Charles. You can follow the particular vocation that seems good to you. After prayer, study, and reflection, the fathers recognize in you a special vocation outside the rule. That is what the council has decided unanimously. May God guide your footsteps. And then he says, we obey in silence. We do good by what we are, more than by what we do. We do good by being of God, by belonging to God. Yes, stability, gather moss. Let the grace of God penetrate, grow, and solidify in your soul. Avoid agitation and endless new beginnings. It is true that we are always beginners, but at least always in the same way and in the same direction. God was indeed calling him to the priesthood. On June 9, 1901, in the Cathedral of Fevers, Charles de Foucauld was ordained a priest by the Archbishop. Father de Foucauld celebrated his first Mass in the morning of June 10, 1901, with his sister present. And he says, I have permission to found. I have been authorized to found a new religious family under the rule of St. Augustine, under the name of the Little Brothers of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, for adoring night and day the Holy Eucharist. So St. Charles He was huge about Eucharistic adoration. Let me say that again. Under the name of the Little Brothers of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, for adoring night and day the Holy Eucharist in perpetual exposition in the solitude of the cloister, in countries of mission, in poverty and work. I am collapsing under the weight of my blessings, of the vision of what I should be, of the vision of the good that I should do, and of the good that would be done were I to be sanctified. Seized in a raid by another tribe, Charles and two French soldiers coming to visit him were shot to death on December 1, 1916. On a daily basis, Father D would give food to those who begged, always making sure to ask anyone who begged to do a job or to work so that they might remain dignified. In the end, not one other person would join his order. Instead of succumbing to discouragement, however, Charles counted this as a blessing to keep him ever humble before the Lord. He continued to offer all he had to God to do with as he pleased. Sometime shortly before his death, he penned a prayer of abandonment, which many pray to this day. Now his life was approaching its fullness. God would soon take him home. Marauders who set out to steal from the fort Charles had built seized him and dragged him into a trench in front of his fort on December 1st, 1916. As two of his friends approached, Father Poku attempted to warn them and was shot by one of his captors at close range. His life was consummated to God, a gift that he had received and offered back. St. Charles Poco's body was found in a ditch in front of the small fort where he had lived as a contemplative serving the poor in Algeria. Shot in the head by a marauder, the holy priest died a martyr. The first miracle which led to the beatification of Charles in 2005 took place in 1984. An Italian from Milan was cured of bone cancer through the intercession of Father Charles. On May 26, 2020, Pope Francis signed a decree approving a second miracle attributed to the intercession of Blessed Charles Poco, paving the way for his canonization. On November 30th, which is today, but this was in 2016, the eve of the centenary of Charles's death, a 21-year-old carpenter helping to restore St. Louis's school's chapel in France, one of the employees, a carpenter named Charlie, had fallen from a ceiling vault in the chapel of St. Louis's High School in western France. The 21-year-old man, known publicly only by his first name, Charlie, had fallen 50 feet onto the armrest of a church pew. Seven doctors examined the young man and concluded unanimously that falling from such height and being impaled generally caused organs to explode. However, the man reportedly got up and looked for help. After the accident, hundreds of people in the parish prayed to Charles Foucault to intercede for the healing of the young man. He was hospitalized for 6 days and returned to work within 2 months without suffering any physical or psychological side effects. Doctors concluded this incident could not be explained medically. Five religious congregations associations, and spiritual institutes, the Little Brothers of Jesus, Little Sisters of the Sacred Heart, Little Sisters of Jesus, Little Brothers of the Gospel, and Little Sisters of the Gospel draw inspiration from the peaceful, largely hidden, yet hospitable life that characterized Charles. He was beatified in 2005 and canonized in 2022, just recently. Because he wanted his order to be suitable for illiterate brothers, he eliminated the requirement to pray the divine offices because they were in Latin, and replaced them with prayer, the rosary, and 5 hours of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. Remember, St. Charles, he was really big about Eucharistic adoration there. On May 15th, 2022, Blessed Charles de Foucauld, along with 9 others, was canonized in St. Peter's Square by Pope Francis. And these are some of the words of Blessed St. Charles. The best used hour in our lives is that in which we love Jesus most. Wow. Be ready. Jesus is coming in the form of a little child. Be ready. Keep Christ in Christmas. And some more of his words. The life of Nazareth can be led anywhere, even in a place whose greatest advantage is in making us ready for the next place, provided that we are where Jesus wants us. Whatever happens, I shall be perfectly satisfied. I could do no other than lose myself by merging with the divine will. I would prefer for myself total failure, perpetual solitude, nothing but setbacks. I do all I can in order to have companions by sanctifying myself in silence. If I had them, I would rejoice along with many worries. Not having them, I rejoice completely. The most important moment of our life, again, is the moment of our death. We move closer toward this moment with each passing day. Think about it. Think often of death as to prepare for it and appraise things of their true value. What's most important? Every cross, great or small, even small annoyances, are the voice of the Beloved. He is asking for a declaration of love from us to last while the suffering lasts. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me as you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart. For I love you, Lord, and so need to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands without reserve and with boundless confidence. For you are my Father. Amen. Wow. That is his prayer. Thank you. Charles de Foucauld, 1858 to 1916, took a photo of the Eucharistic Jesus while it was exposed on the altar. When the film was developing, the attached picture of the child Jesus appeared. The picture portrays the innocent child Jesus looking up to his loving Holy Father, and praying on our behalf. The surrounding shows the child Jesus in a poor carpenter's workshop.
Wow.
Sometime later, Jesus told the monk, he told St. Charles, I promise to send my blessings and my peace to each home where this image is found.
Wow.
My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. And I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of your mercy. This prayer was revealed to our Lord, the Saint Mary of Saint Peter, in 1843 as a reparation for blasphemy. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most mysterious, and incomprehensible and ineffable name of God be forever praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified. And that image of the miraculous picture of Jesus coming out in the Eucharist. And this was something that my mother saw. She saw something of this when she first went into a Catholic church. She was not Catholic, but she had a friend who was showing her the Catholic faith. And she went into a Catholic church where they were having Eucharistic adoration, not knowing. And when she saw the image of Jesus in the monstrance, she was like, how did they do that? She thought everybody that was there was seeing what she saw. And this would lead to my mother's full conversion to the Catholic faith and in her love, in love for Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, which would be how I was brought into the Catholic Church. My mother had me baptized when I was very young, and I was raised through the inspiration, through my mother's faith. I have embraced the Holy Catholic faith, and today I'm known as the Catholic Defender. And what I do in her honor, my mother's honor. I strive to do in my mother's honor. Who loved me enough, who loved me, who wanted the best for me, knowing that that would be the Catholic faith. Wow. And that was the story of St. Charles de Foucault. What an awesome, what a story. And that should be a story that should give hope to you who have family and friends, children that have gone astray, that have rejected their faith, that have lost their faith. Pray for them. Never give up on, never give up. Pray the rosary for them. Pray and lift up the name of Jesus for them. Because Jesus loves them. Remember, he loves them. It says in, the Gospel of Luke, St. Luke makes this point that Jesus would leave the 99 to go find the one that has gone astray. And when he finds him, there's much joy in heaven. So Jesus loves those whom you love that have gone astray. So be the miracle. That is important too. Be the miracle. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, there was a cry, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for your lamps are going out, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourself." While they were off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Acts chapter 2, 17 through 19 states, "It will come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out a portion of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below." Think about what our Lord is saying here. Through the prophet Joel, chapter 3, and St. Luke, obviously this is great news. First things first, it will come to pass. When you're going through tough times, it is great to know that things will pass and can get better. This is offering us hope. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 14 states, "Such you must know is wisdom to your soul. If you find it, you will have a future, and your hope will not be cut off." Our hope is in the Lord. For Romans chapter 12:12 states, "Rejoice in hope, endure in affliction, persevere in prayer. It will come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out portion of my spirit upon all flesh." That is good news. We are not orphaned. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This is promised for the church. God would use his servants to proclaim God's word, proclaiming liberty to the captives, setting them free. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his own face in a mirror. He sees himself and goes off and promptly forgets what he looked like. But the one who peers into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres and is not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, such a one shall be blessed in what he does. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. The Lord is calling each and every one of us to utilize our spirit as he wills for us to accomplish. Be the miracle that God brings to those who are captives. See God's work in the natural as well as the supernatural happenings around you. When a teenager turns from drugs and accepts confirmation, that is a miracle. When a woman decides to have her child for the love of her child, that is a miracle. When you give aid to the poor, God can work all kinds of wonders in the lives of those forsaken by society. Your young men shall see visions. We are known principally by three major ways. First, we are known by what we say. People will take what you say and watch you. Jesus warns, a good person brings forth good out of a store of goodness, but an evil person brings forth evil out of a store of evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will render an account for every careless word they speak. By your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Matthew chapter 12, 35 and 20 through 37. Not only are you being watched by your peers and acquaintances, but the Lord is very much involved in holding you accountable. So you are known for what you say. Secondly, then you are also known for what you do. How does your actions follow along with your words? James chapter 2, 26 to 8. For as a body without a spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Excuse me. Faith can move mountains. However, he who is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. Be the miracle that allows the Lord to work in your life. Proclaim good news to those around you by your praise of others and the good that you do. There is a third major thing that people will observe in you. Not only are you known for what you say and what you do, but you're also known for the things you love. What is most evident in your life? Be the miracle. When others around you show indifference, be committed. Be faithful going to Mass each and every Sunday and Holy Day. Go during the week when you can. That is a great miracle of blessing. Your faithfulness speaks louder than words. Finally, Jesus told the scribe, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And Jesus says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. St. Paul says something that many of us can identify, most certainly yours truly. Not that I say this because of need, for I have learned in whatever situation I find myself to be self-sufficient. I know indeed how to live in humble circumstances. I know also how to live with abundance. In every circumstance and in all things, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of living in abundance and of being in need. I have the strength for everything through him who empowers me. Philippians chapter 4, 11 through 13. St. Luke is promising that you will be empowered, like St. Paul, by God, with his Spirit, giving us signs and wonders to encourage us and strengthen us. Be the miracle that others might see the goodness of God in your life, so that they will also come to desire the things of God. If you have not been practicing your Catholic faith, if you have been sitting on the fence or even placing yourself in another pasture, please take another deeper look at Jesus and Mary and come home to the faith that the saints have given testimony throughout the ages. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Be the miracle. Live out the sacraments in your life. Center yourself on Jesus and renew the covenant with him, the Eucharist, to maintain your strength, and he will renew your strength. O Lord, hear my cry pouring out from a troubled heart, the sorrow which budges at my soul, has driven me to you, my protector, my true friend in time of need. You know, my God, all my failings, my faults, and my sins, as well as the torment gripping my soul. My greatest sorrow should be for my disregard of your holy commandments in the past, and I sincerely hope that you will grant me the grace of true contrition. O my Savior, hide not your face from me in this tribulation. Let the light of your countenance shine upon me, that I may be illuminated by its love. If it be your will, lighten this burden from me. Yet should it be a means of my salvation, help me. Help me, O Lord, to carry this cross. For alone I can do nothing. Radiate your love upon the prodigal child, O Lord, this beggar who knocks at your door, seeking shelter in your sacred heart. This once proud earthen vessel, made of clay, seeks you, O Christ, and in a newly found faith, firmly believes that you will receive him in your limitless love and mercy. Amen. And that was my article, Be the Miracle. Have your oil full. Be ready. And how do you replenish your... how do you do that? Well, the sacraments. Go to confession. Receive the Eucharist. Pray the rosary. Read the lives of the saints. Learn and grow in your faith. Be ready. Ever ready. And one last point, one last December 25th, 2 BC. Jesus was truly born on that day. And some people would say, well, it was too cold. Well, was it too cold? Well, let's take a look at that for a second. Sometimes artists, through their expression and profession, can influence thought and belief based on their perception, the perception of the artist. Christmas is a great example, as many of our beloved music and art portrays Christmas in Bethlehem as being winter with snow. Consider the song, The First Noel, one of my personal favorites. It has a line, on a cold winter's night, that was so deep, Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Notice the feeling you have singing that stanza. It's cold outside, and you can really feel for those shepherds. Paintings and artwork often depicts a nativity scene with snowflakes and snow on the ground. Is this art and music that is so entrenched in our imagination of the Christmas story a true representation of the actual nativity scene? This statement was posed to challenge my position that truly the shepherds were in fact out in the fields tending their sheep. Now, we don't know when our Lord was born. That's what they would say, that we're being challenged. In winter, yes. Because the shepherds were out in the fields that time of year, why not appropriate a beloved pagan season to celebrate the nativity? That's what they're trying to say, that Christmas is pagan. Well, it's not. There's even a neat play on words. The Romans called the winter solstice the birth of the unconquered sun. Christ could not have been born in December. That's what they're saying. Since St. Luke describes shepherds holding in the neighboring fields in Bethlehem, shepherds do not herd during the winter. Thus, Christ was not born in winter. That's what they're saying. This is somehow a very popular attempt to refute December 25th as the birthday of Jesus. But that simply is not accurate. The idea that December in Jerusalem and Bethlehem was too cold for shepherds to tend to their flocks is a complete myth. Southern Israel's weather pattern in December is about 50 to 60 degrees. At night, it will get down to about 43 to 45 degrees. Late December, in reality, is quite mild and a great opportunity for sheep herders to graze their flocks. There are two points to consider here. One, consider Zechariah's first duty in Jerusalem as a member of the division of Abijah, Luke chapter 1, verse 5, would have occurred about February Luke chapter 1, verse 10 speaks to large multitudes in Jerusalem, which being a high elevation in the country, it is colder than out on the plains and valleys. December, however, will still be between 50 and 60 degrees average, which is reasonable to graze their sheep. Number two, we know that John the Baptist was born on June 24th during the summertime. The Virgin Mary did not spend first in the dead of winter to visit Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 states, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Today you can still see shepherds tending their flocks in the fields in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem, there is actually two fields that has a Catholic ownership and another owned by the Greek Orthodox, known as the Shepherd's Field, both having memorials for the pilgrims to commemorate the Gospel of Luke's account. The wool taken by the shepherds are a hot commodity for pilgrims, and the sheep are highly prized. The shepherds at the time of Jesus would have had access to the wool themselves, keeping them warm as they kept watch over their flocks. Sheep respond to the shepherd's voice. The voice of the shepherd brings comfort and security to the sheep. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John chapter 10, verse 27. The voice of the Lord is made manifest through his Catholic Church that presents the word through all the ages. The angels appeared to the shepherds out in the field who gave watch over their flocks by night. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 20. Nowhere in this text does it hint that the weather was cold, that there was snow, or that there was even any rain that night. We can appreciate and love the many classic Christmas carols and paintings that were experienced every year. But we also can appreciate the 2,000-year reason for the season. Mother Mary pondered these things in her heart as the shepherds glorified God, praising him for what they heard and seen that first Christmas night. So next time someone tries to sell you the idea that Christmas didn't come to Bethlehem December 25th, 2 BC, just give them a smile and a hug and tell them that they will be just all right. History and tradition, along with Scripture, points to December 25th, 2 BC. The idea that Bethlehem was too cold is just another Monty Python attempt for humor. And so, Jesus truly was born December 25th, 2 BC.
Come, they told me, our newborn king to see, our finest gifts we bring to lay before the king. This is to honor him. When we come, baby Jesus, I am a poor boy too. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give a king. But may I play for you on my drum? and lamb kept time. I played my drum for him. I played my best for him. Then he smiled at me. Me and my drum.
And may the Lord smile upon you as he radiates his grace upon you, his light. He is the light of the world. And may we, through our love for him and embracing his light, reflect that light. Like the moon reflects the light of the sun, may we reflect the light of the sun, the S-U-N, the sun. May we reflect Jesus' light so others can see him. He is the reason for the season. And so may he smile upon you. And you are his greatest gift for Christmas. As he comes, as he is coming as a little baby, you are his greatest gift. You are his, you're the gift that he is seeking. He says, I thirst. He is seeking you. He loves you. And is calling and inviting us. Inviting us to receive him in the sacrament of love.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And so, as we're preparing for Christmas, this Advent, we will end today the holy name of Jesus. Preparing for December 25th. Are you ready? Be the miracle. He is coming. Be ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good day.